You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day. Courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Friday, the 5th day of July, year of our Lord 2019. Welcome to the John Moore Show. As we do these days, we begin our show with the Pledge of Allegiance. Here we are. Here we go. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Prepper tip of the day, I encourage all of you to work on your physical conditioning. It's not optional. We have most of us tend to have rather sedentary lives. That's just part of the modern age. No excuse. I do my workout every morning, and I do some stretching. I do 200 crunches. I do 125 push-ups. Those last 5 or 10 push-ups are a bit burning, but the burn is good. That means something's happening in those muscles. So I want to encourage all of you to work in your physical conditioning. If nothing else, just get out and walk. Get a good pair of walking shoes and walk. If you run, do not run on pavement. Seriously, don't run on pavement. Go to a track that has one of these nice surfaces on it that are meant for running on, or run on dirt. You really don't want to run on pavement. I don't care if you've got $100 shoes or not. Don't run on pavement. It will not be to your benefit. We have patient Wayne in Greenwood, my friend Tom Berryhill. Tom began a quest more than half a century ago to become quite knowledgeable in anything and everything to do with radio frequency engineering, two-way radio communications, ham radio. He's had a career in this area of expertise, and we're going to talk about emergency survival communications. Good morning, Tom. Hello, Tom. Take your telephone off. Are you there?
I'm here, John, I think.
Okay, you're here.
Okay.
All right, good. Well, the ARRL field day, annual field day, has come and gone. I hope some of our people participated in it. We promoted it quite a bit there In fact, we forgot to talk about the day before the event, but for a whole month before that, we talked about it every Friday. A great event, and of course, it'll be another year before the next one takes place. Tom, you and I talked privately about the importance of HF, high frequency. Ironically, the most effective way to talk long distances with radio a century ago was high frequency, and it remains that way today, doesn't it?
Really does, John. Back in the day, even up to 100 years ago or so, it was the mode of communications, especially for maritime traffic, commercial traffic on the seas, and aeronautical. So aircraft had HF radio equipment, and they still do, by the way. A lot of international flights will conduct some of their communications on HF bands. You can hear them up between 9 and 12 megahertz. You'll hear some of the aircraft in those frequency ranges, and you can intercept some of their transmissions. So, yes, they still do it. And although a lot of the communications has been handed off to satellites, and the same for maritime traffic, it's still a very valuable way and important way to communicate very long distances with low power. You don't need a whole lot of power to do this, and with very reliable communications.
Well, the Navy, all the navies, U.S. Navy and all the other navies, and Merchant Marine, they were at the forefront of radio from the get-go, weren't they?
Yes, they were, and it caused a lot of trouble in the early days because the ham operators would be on the same wavelength. They did everything by wavelengths in those days, John. Way, way back in the beginning, everything was indicated what wavelength they would be on rather than frequency. And of course, with modern equipment like we have today, it's very easy to just pinpoint your frequency. Although wavelength still applies, that is usually used to indicate what band of frequencies you may be using as far as ham operators go. So it's important to know the difference and how they how these different bands operate. The lower wavelengths will be very high frequencies, and longer wavelengths will be for the lower frequencies. And then you have to know at nighttime, high frequencies go not quite as far. Of course, a lot of it depends on the sunspot cycle. And then during the day, your lower frequencies and longer wavelengths, usually we just talk about frequencies, so we'll just stick with that now. But the lower frequencies for ham operators will travel pretty good distances over the regional area that you may be in. And they're used for regional communications. At nighttime, they cover quite a bit further. And for general use, all-around use, a pretty good distance in your local area and regional, and even sometimes on a national basis would be the 7 megahertz band. That covers quite a distance day and night. And probably the all-around best band for very wide-range communications, including international, would be the 20-meter band. I stay mostly on the 40-meter band, which is the 7.0 to 7.3 megahertz, because that gives you pretty good range day and night. And usually what I'm interested in is just talking to other people in the country. I don't care too much anymore about international. When I first got started, I was interested in how far I could talk, and I would use some of the higher frequencies, the 20-meter, 14 megahertz band, the 21 megahertz band, and even the 10-meter band, which was 28 megahertz. But now I focus mainly on the 40-meter and the 80-meter, 75-meter bands because I'm interested in the emergency communication side of things, and that's where most of that traffic would take place.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about emergency survival communications here. For some families, it becomes a family hobby where the 8-year-old boys and girls can participate at the same level as grandma and grandpa, which is fun for children to do adult things. So there's a fun and social aspect to this, and a serious aspect to this as well, where it could be literally a matter of life and death during a crisis, right, Tom?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct, Tom. Yes, and there's people of all ages on the ham radio band, so you might talk to some young people that are still in school, grade school, high school, as well as people in their 90s that are on there, and they have a lot of stories to tell about the early days of ham radio and life in general. So you can meet some very interesting people on these frequencies.
That's right. Well, the way to get started is go to the ARRL website. That's ARRL.org. Once you're there, you can find the location of your local ham radio club, and that's not optional. You really need to be active with your local ham radio club in order to get going properly and quickly, right, Tom?
Well, yeah, that's a good idea because it's a great way to learn from others. You'll meet a lot of people that have already been on the air for a while, and they can share the stories about how they got started. They can help you to not make the mistakes they made when setting up antennas and equipment. There's so many things that can go wrong. Although it is rather simple today to set this equipment up, most of it is plug and play. Set up the antenna, plug it into the radio, plug the power supply into an AC outlet on the wall, and you're ready to go. And you have to learn a few procedures about on-the-air transmissions and things like that.
Right.
So there are a few things you need to learn, but still, so many things can go wrong, and usually with setting up the antennas in an appropriate way. And of course, right, there's a lot of safety issues you have to pay attention to as well.
Absolutely. And we got a caller and holder, another ham radio operator, Jerry in Texas. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, John and Tom. Quick question. The topic that you're on this morning, I think, fits in with my question. There has been kind of a scuttlebutt and excitement here in my area about what Europe, what is it, CEPT, is doing. They're talking about taking away all of the 2-meter 144 to 146 away from Western Europe. Are you familiar with that, Tom? And what's your view on that, if it's going to spill over here in the United States?
I don't know everything about that, Jerry. I did see an article talking about France. France is talking about taking a 2-meter ham band, 100. Their band's a little bit different there. It may only go to 146 to 148. Some of the countries have different ranges than we do here, but there was some talk about taking those frequencies away. They're very valuable, by the way, and the commercial companies want to put equipment on there. They could put cell phones on there. They could put just about anything, data transmission equipment. Yeah, those frequencies are quite valuable. So it's very important as a ham operator to occupy those frequencies and use them as often as possible to let the casual listener know there's something going on. If a commercial company tunes around and they don't hear anything going on and it's just a wasteland, they'll put in a petition to the FCC to release those frequencies for use for their purposes, commercial purposes. It's been tried before. In fact, part of the 220 megahertz band was lost maybe 20 or so years ago, 25 years ago, for maybe even longer than that. I don't remember, but they took part of it. And I think it was for UPS. UPS was going to use it for some sort of system for their trucks, only to find out it never took place. But we lost frequencies, but they were never really used for that purpose. There's a lot of that goes on all the time. And there's a lot of ham radio bands that are from 50 megahertz up that are very valuable for the types of communications that takes place today.
Well, I note the 220 frequencies or 1 1/4 bandwidth is not used very much here in this area. Of course, we've got a pretty strong infrastructure of 2 meter repeaters, and some of them has got a pretty fantastic footprint. And if they should take away the 2 meter here in the United States, here in Texas, I know would suffer tremendously in certain areas because got a pretty good net. We have several simplex net meetups during the week, and repeater meetups, which a lot of money tied up in that for us ham operators, or some of us anyway. But I was just curious if you were up on that, had some information, and whatever. Some people said it'll never happen, and some of them think, well, it could happen very quickly. But anyway.
And many times, Jerry, many times some of these frequency allocations, they can't just be handed off immediately. It takes years for this, some of this to happen. And there's some international regulations that, that fall into place as well. So many times they have to wait until there's a international get-together and everybody, all these countries discuss this. That's how a lot of the new ham radio bands turned up on the shortwave spectrum, HF spectrum. They came about because a lot of the broadcasters have shut down and moved everything off to internet and other ways, satellite and so on, and that's allowed a lot of these frequencies to become vacant. So the ham operators picked up new bands and then sometimes lost parts of other bands. Things like that happen, and it's usually on a 10-year cycle. They'll have these meetings every 10 years to discuss these frequency allocations, and it's all done on an international basis, so there's a lot of input from other countries that comes into play. But that's when they'll start doing these frequency grabs, and you do have to pay attention to it. The same thing goes on in the commercial world. If you look into it, you'll find out that certain things had to change because frequency allocations change. You had to get rid of certain types of equipment and get new types of equipment. I know a lot of wireless microphones, churches and auditoriums, stage productions, things like that, they had to be changed to new frequency bands because of so many of those taken over for fire and police type units. So changes like this go on quite often. It's easier, I think, to get the higher frequency bands. The shortwave spectrum is definitely by international treaties and so on, but there may be a little bit more, it may be more flexible in the VHF and UHF frequencies. I don't know all the ins and outs of that, but it does happen quite often. And believe me, our frequency bands are being looked at constantly, especially the UHF, the 420 to 450 megahertz spread. That's the 70 centimeter ham band. They would love to have that. And we also have some frequency allocations in the 900 megahertz bands, and those are on a shared basis anyway. I've never really operated too much on the 900 megahertz. I have done a little experimentation on there, mainly because the equipment is so readily available. You can get old cell phone equipment and modify it to easily go into those ranges. And then there used to be a lot of commercial two-way radio in those 800 to 900 megahertz ranges. You can easily move those into the 900 megahertz band for ham use. And but all that stuff got changed around mainly because of cell phones. They take a tremendous amount of frequency spectrum for these cellular operating systems, and they're always looking for more spectrum, and that's they're eyeing up these ham bands all the time.
Well, what spectrum or bandwidth
hold
is this?
Jerry, hold that thought. Hold that thought. We got a break. Okay. We'll be right back. We'll continue our discussion. We'll be right back.
Hey, come on! It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, town there I'm not forgot to look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on a frosty morning, look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Well, I wish I was in
J.R. Moore here on Friday, the 5th day of July. My 4th of July sale on energy cleaners is in force right now up until midnight, Monday the 8th. $25 off energy cleaners, 10% off mattress pads. When you place your order, you'll be paying full price. I manually refund the difference. If you're sending a check or a money order, just mail in the correct dollar amount. Make sure it's postmarked by midnight the 8th. Visiting with Tom Berryhill, this is the Friday first hour. We talk about emergency survival communications, and the call number is 800-313-9443. Jerry, let's continue with your commentary, sir.
Well, there's a question, kind of off topic, I guess. This 5G telephone cell phone system, there's a lot of pros and cons going on about that. I don't guess that that bandwidth frequency is going to affect us ham operators, but there seems to be a lot of fear of physical dangers to the users and those that are exposed to it. Are you privy to any of that information? And I've got so much noise going on, I'll I'll just go ahead and hang up and listen to your comments. And everybody have a good weekend. Be safe out there.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, John.
Tom?
Well, John, I don't know what to say about the 5G systems. There's a lot of talk about it. There's a lot of excitement about the things it can provide, a lot of fears about the frequencies in use. As you get into the higher and higher frequency bands, the wavelengths become very, very short. And that's getting up into where they measure the wavelengths in millimeters, and it has a lot of the ability to penetrate tissue and cause all kinds of problems biologically. So, yes, there's some valid fears with it. I don't know yet. I'm going to wait and just see what really takes place. They're setting up some of these systems. Let's just see what happens with it. But many people are very fearful of it. What everybody should consider is that a lot of these Wi-Fi systems that operate on 2.4 gigahertz, that's very dangerous because that's very close to the 2.6 gigahertz that the microwave ovens work in, which is one of the optimum frequencies to penetrate tissue and heat it using RF energy, and that's how a microwave oven works. That's very close to the Wi-Fi systems, wireless, a lot of wireless, Bluetooth headsets and things. I see people with these Bluetooth headsets. They have the thing stuck right in their ear. That's transmitting and receiving all the time, but when it transmits, it's putting that 2.4 gigahertz energy right there in your ear. And that's
right. They're real popular with truckers, aren't they?
Yes, they are, and I consider those things very dangerous. I would never use one of those, never. Even though they're very, very low power, it's radiating that signal almost all the time, and you have to be real careful with that. That's so close to the optimum frequency for penetration of biological tissue. You have to really be careful as far as that 2.4 gigahertz stuff goes.
Absolutely. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're hearing all this talk about megahertz and gigahertz and so forth and frequencies, and you're scratching your head. That stuff's like Greek to me. Well, it probably is like Greek to you if you're standing on the outside looking in. Well, come on in. You're very welcome. Come on in. The door is right there at your fingertips, the ARRL.org. That's Alpha Romeo Romeo Lima.org. And you'll be very welcome. You won't be expected to know anything when you walk in the door. People aren't going to make fun of you. They expect you to be ignorant. That's everybody's ignorant when they walk in the door. But that's what you do. You walk in the door of your local ham radio club. You meet and greet, and you start learning. And you'll find out, oh, this isn't so hard after all. Oh, this isn't so complex after all. Right, Tom?
Yeah, it's true, John. You can break down any of this into small portions that are easy to handle and understand and learn about. You just take it one step at a time and get help from your local ham operator club. There'll be a lot of the ladies and gentlemen there that will be more than happy to help you get your system set up so that you don't have to make the same mistakes they did when they got started. And they share a lot of information about getting this equipment. They'll help you pick out equipment, the things you need, some of the things that you think you need that you really don't need to spend any money on unless you really want to. There's a lot of accessories that a lot of the hams like to have, but you don't need all of this stuff to get started. You can start out in a very basic way and expand the system as you go.
Absolutely. Another advantage of becoming part of your local ham radio club is having access to high quality used equipment at very decent prices. Here's our bottom of the hour break. The call number is 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today. Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Friday, the 5th of July. My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. You'll see the notice there for the memorial service for my wife, Dr. Marianne Moore. I want to thank all of you that have been sending your condolences. That's very helpful. Next to that, we still have one opening for a marketing person to market myself for our speaking engagements. This is a paid part-time position, but one slot left open. And, of course, my 4th of July sale on energy cleaners in force right now, taking place right now, $25 off energy cleaners, 10% off mattress pads. You can get the details right there at my website at thelibertyman.com, not the details on the sale, but the details on the energy cleaner and the mattress pads, of course. You can call my toll-free R line. You'll be paying full price when you place your order. I manually make the refund for the sale price. My toll-free R line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. And, of course, the same 90-day money-back guarantee applies as always. If you're sending a check or money order, make sure it's postmarked before midnight the 8th. That's when the sale ends, midnight the 8th. So if you want an opportunity to save a little money on the energy cleaner and a mattress pad, this is the time to do it. This is Friday, Friday's first hour. We talked to Mr. Tom Berryhill about emergency survival communications. In normal times, it's just fun. In more difficult times, as we said earlier, it could literally be a matter of life and death to have these skills, to have the equipment that goes along with it. And if you've got it, you can help people. If you don't, well, can't help, can you, Tom?
That's right, John. And what a lot of people don't realize is that everybody's so used to using these cell phones. And, of course, they rely on an incredibly complex and large infrastructure of towers, transmitters, receivers, all the microwave links, the fiber optic links. All of this infrastructure has to be operating properly in a moment's notice to be able to use that cell phone. So if those systems break down or go away under during a crisis or something of that sort, there's going to be no cell phones to be used. If there's any very large crisis...
Not by the average person. Here's what will happen, and we talked about this before. The government, in cooperation with all the cell phone carriers, can shut down the cell phone system for everyone but their own use. So government officials will still have access to cell phones when the rest of us work. In fact, my local preparedness group is part of that specialized outfit that we can have our cell phones work when the rest of the people won't have cell phone service. Another good reason to be part of your local preparedness group or to start one, right, Tom?
Well, that's true, John. And, of course, if they have equipment malfunctions, if it's a large enough problem, for instance, some of these forest fires that have taken place in California, that can really wipe out some of these systems that are usually the towers and the repeaters and everything that's used for the cell infrastructure is usually located in high areas where they have extended range, especially in a rural area. They want those towers higher because they have to cover more range with less towers. And metropolitan area, they have them on top of buildings every few blocks, so they have saturated that area with the signals, and it works a lot better. But in the rural areas, you want these towers higher, and if you look on some of these mountaintops, you'll see the towers. You'll see all the equipment up there. There's a forest fire that wipes that stuff out. They're off the air, and I don't care what person wants to use that cell phone, it's just not going to be there for them. And and so you have to pay attention to that and keep in mind that the ham radio operators, they have some infrastructure too that's somewhat similar in their repeater systems, but you can also operate your equipment in any way that you want on whatever frequency bands are available to the ham operators. You can cover very wide areas with your transmissions that would never be available to anybody with a cell phone. So if the systems are out, whether they're shut down by a government entity for their use, for their private use, and they can do that, and they will do that, or if the system has been damaged, you'd still be able to use your ham equipment because the infrastructure is right there in the equipment that you have from your station to the distant station that you're talking to. That's the entire infrastructure, your transmitter, transceiver, your antenna, and the distance station's similar setup. You're talking to each other, whether it be by voice, a microphone, telegraph keys, computer keyboards. You can use all these various modes of transmission, and your communications would get through. And the ham operators are skilled enough to know what frequencies to use under different circumstances, geographical locations, as well as the time of the year. You know, it's better. Certain frequencies are better during the winter, and during the summer, other frequencies seem to work better. There's some that are good year-round, and then daytime and nighttime, there's differences in what frequency bands you would use as far as the HF spectrum goes. On VHF, it's usually the same. Day or night, but you would have shorter ranges on VHF and UHF. But the ham operators will pick the appropriate frequency bands to use for their communications during emergency operations like this. Field day was a an exercise, a contest, and a fun time to have barbecues and chat with everybody and set these systems up under emergency communication, set the emergency communications up under tents and in parks using generators, batteries, solar panels, whatever. They set it up to as a practice run, but also as a contest, and to see which stations could contact the most other stations and put those in their logbooks, submit them to American Radio Relay League. Those results will be out soon enough on who won the various awards and so on. But it's a good way to learn about emergency communications, because you don't have that station plugged in at your house with your antenna system, everything set up there, but you're operating out in the field under emergency conditions. It's really kind of interesting to
Tom, we got a caller.
Equipment like that.
It is. We got a caller on hold here. We got Kyle in Montana. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning, gentlemen. You might have covered it before because I can't catch every single broadcast, it seems, John, but I was wondering, with towers stuck way up in the air like that, if there were to be an EMP, what effect do you think that would have? Especially, like, I was thinking, you know, on HF antennas, a friend of mine's got that, and he must have, you know, 300 or 400 feet strung out in the trees at his place. And I was wondering, because I've heard that long runs of wire is what catches the magnetic pulse, electromagnetic pulse, that will burn out radios and stuff like that. And I was curious, number one, if you think it would affect the HF systems or just even the 2-meter systems that's just got a radio, you know, an antenna up in the air, or is there a way to, other than unplugging it and unhooking it, because you wouldn't know, you know, exactly when it happened, when is there a way to protect yourself?
Well, Kyle, the best way to protect yourself is to disconnect the antenna and keep it grounded when you're not using it. But you're correct in what you stated there, that the very long antennas, the long wire runs through trees, however you have your antenna set up, the bigger it is, the more exposure it has, and the more that EMP energy it would collect. So you do have to pay attention to that. I keep my antennas disconnected and grounded all the time if I'm not using them. The only time they're connected up to the equipment is when I'm actually using the equipment, and otherwise they're grounded. And that's good for lightning, just general noise and static that could perhaps damage the equipment. It can happen, and it does happen occasionally, so you want to have a way to ground those antennas. But I really can't tell you exactly what would happen during an EMP pulse until we get one. One of these days it could happen, and then we'll have a whole lot of experience in what happened and what to do to prevent it in the future. If there is a future after it happens, who knows? Nobody really knows.
Yeah, exactly. I think we'd be like back in the 1800s almost overnight, which is, you know, that the Naval War College or something that said 90% of the people would be dead in this country. By the way, John, jumping off track just a little bit, the gentleman that you have on Monday, the gun guy, I can't remember name right now.
Sam Andrews, right?
Yeah. I watched that Civil War too. Did you watch that by chance that he suggested?
I've written an article. It's going to be published hopefully by the end of the day on that topic.
Very interesting. Did you find any flaws in his thinking? I was just curious.
No major ones. Not really, no.
Okay, I didn't either. Yeah. Excellent. Well, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate the time.
Okay, thank you. Tom, you and I have talked privately about this, and we share mutual concerns about the future of this country, the near future. And we do need to deviate here for just a few minutes, because this is a very serious matter. When I first started reading articles 8, 9, 10 years ago about the Second Civil War, I thought, what a bunch of silliness that is. I no longer feel that way. I feel that those who oppose liberty, who want to see our republic destroyed, are very sincerely preparing to do exactly that. And I think it's time to alert people, inform them, and in relation to that, encourage them to become part of ham radio. Right, Tom?
Well, that's very true, John. What we spoke about the other day at the restaurant is really makes me want to focus on HF radio systems. It's the VHF and UHF is important for your local area that you want to cover with communications, but if you want to get information out and you want to find out what's happening in other areas, whether on a regional or a national basis, you really need the HF systems.
That's right. That's right. And they can be compact. They can be portable, fit in the back of a backpack, for example, a man portable easily. The days of the way this was done 50 years ago was very large units that were heavy, bulky, with very heavy, bulky radio batteries. I know the radios we used in Vietnam were very heavy and bulky, didn't have very good range typically. They were tough as could be, very rugged, but they had very limited capability, didn't they, Tom?
Yes, for the backpack radios were only a couple of 2 or 3 watts, and they didn't have great coverage, but they worked well for the intended purpose out in the field and then back to headquarters and so on. But there was still some HF equipment used in Vietnam, in the Vietnam War, and of course, World War II. Korean War, there was a lot of that used, but World War II used quite a bit of HF. In fact, a lot of, I'd say most of the communications was done on the HF bands. So it's important to have this equipment if you can't afford it. Get the best that you can. Get some portable equipment as well as some larger equipment that you can use at your home. If you had an HF system in your car, you'd be able to communicate back to your home for hundreds and hundreds, and in some cases thousands of miles. You'd stay in touch when all the other infrastructure is down. You'd be able to stay in touch, and that'd be very, very handy to have.
It would be. It would be. Handy to have, and as I keep saying, it could easily be a matter of life and death. So think about this. When my article's published, people can read it. There's a couple of books I reference if people want to study up more on this and prove to themselves that what we're talking about is not a flight of fancy, but in fact a definite possibility. I'm not going to sit here and say the Civil War is definitely going to start. I'm going to sit here and say you need to think about this. You really need to think about this because it's a possibility. To predict the future with any kind of accuracy is darn near impossible, isn't it, Tom?
That's right, John. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know until after tomorrow's come and gone. But having this equipment ready and knowing how to use it will really be something to have in a time of crisis. When everything else isn't working and you're the ham operator in your local area, everybody will find out and they will be very grateful that you were there to help them get messages out to their family members and other areas, friends, and so on, all over the country. That's the way ham radio really started, and that's why it still exists, because of the ability of these ham operators to provide communications when everything else fails.
That's right. And this happens over and over again. Very recently, for example, with Hurricane Katrina, the only communications in or out of New Orleans was the ham radio people. And we've grown to expect that, haven't we, Tom?
Well, that's true. Most people today don't even know that ham radio exists. All they know about is these cell phones. And everybody is so used to these cell phones that work so good everywhere all the time. Instantly, you can get a text message out. You can call somebody no matter where you are. If that went away, I think the people, they'd go crazy. I don't know, John, the younger crowd that all they do is text, they're always pushing buttons on those phones, I think they'd lose their minds.
What do you think?
Well, I think they've already lost their minds. We got a caller and holder. We got Jerry in Texas. Good morning, Jerry.
Tom, you brought up a subject I'd like to you address when you talk about mobile HF radios in your car and what have you. What kind of antennas would you suggest, and what bandwidth are we talking about? I got that Yaesu, what is it, FT857D that goes all the way up to 80 meters. But I don't want to
hold that thought. Jerry. We got our last break. We'll be right back.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Jerry Moore here on Friday, the 5th of July. Jerry, we're down to a few minutes here. You need to make a quick comment or question here, sir, before we wrap it up.
Okay. Question is on HF, on portable mobile rigs, antennas. I probably don't have enough time to address the whole subject today, but maybe something next week. What would you recommend on an ATIP mobile unit to have with you in your vehicle? And I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, well, Jerry, here's how it goes on HF. It's probably more complex to set up an HF antenna system on a vehicle than it is your home, because the antennas are very small relative to what they really should be in the frequencies in use. So I rarely operate HF below 7 megahertz. In fact, most of the time I leave the radio equipment on the 40-meter band around 7.2 megahertz, 7.2, 7.25, somewhere around there. There's some networks and groups on there that you can talk to, and that works pretty good. But the antennas tend to be very large at those frequencies, and so you have to use coils, loading coils, so you can have a shorter whip antenna. And what I've usually used is what's called a screwdriver antenna. And if you look into these, you'll find out that it's a motorized, the coil has a motorized apparatus in there to move, adjust the coil and move it to the frequency so it resonates at the frequency that you're operating on. There's various ways to do that. It gets very technical. It'd be difficult to get into it, you know, on this broadcast. But if you just research screwdriver antennas, and one of the ones I've used that's worked quite well for me is a Yaesu ATAS-120. I believe that's the model number. And it's quite compact for a screwdriver antenna, and you can mount that on the bumper or actually on the car body itself if you want to. And it's not overly large. And it works pretty good, but any antenna used on a vehicle on the HF band is a compromise at best. The radiation efficiency is very low. So if you might have a 100-watt mobile unit, but your effective rated power is going to be relatively low, but it'll still get the job done. I've talked all over the world from the car, so it can be done. And what you want to do is get the best system that you can, the best antenna you can for the car. I've seen some huge mobile antennas for HF systems on a ham's car. When you drive down the road with that on your car, people really look at you because they just cannot figure out what is this person doing. What is that monstrosity hanging on the rear end of that car? It looks a lot better on a pickup truck, and there's more mounting options on a pickup truck or a van. Vehicles like that. Some of these
gentlemen, we're out of time. Good. Jerry, thank you. Tom, thank you. Have you back next week.
Thank you, John.
Top of the hour break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.